This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to Marvel Vision, a podcast about Marvel, the MCU, and right now the premiere of Hawkeye on Disney Plus. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And first and foremost, since we're going to be talking about the premiere here, if you haven't watched it over on Disney Plus, go check it out. We're not going to talk about the second episode, even though they both dropped at the same time. We're going to have a separate podcast episode for that because you've got to respect the process. You know what I'm talking about?
100%. But we'll drop them at the same time, just like Disney, because we're a podcast plus. We're Marvel Vision
podcast plus. Marvel Vision plus. Here we go. We're definitely going to do that. But let's talk about this. First of all, so we get to see Hawkeye after the event of all of the Avengers movies, everything that's happened through Phase 3. He is with his family. He is in the city for Christmas. But here's the thing. This is not the Clint Barton show. This is the Kate Bishop show, folks. That's 100%. Right. So we meet Kate Bishop. We follow her. We meet her mother. We meet her new potential stepdad, who's Jacques Dufresne, aka the Swordsman, for those of you who
Duquesne,
know.
Duquesne,
excuse me.
Andy Dufresne. Right.
Yeah.
And at the end, he kind of like stands up and he looks in the rain and he's... So we meet him. We meet the rest of why she is a Hawkeye fangirl. And ultimately, she ends in possession of the Ronin uniform, which plays an interesting role here, has a big fight, and by the end of the episode is the first time she actually comes face-to-face with Hawkeye when she says, he says, who are you? And that's where we end things. But it really is, excuse me, I'm getting very
choked up. You all right?
I had some Clovis before the show. The
nice.
What a flex. What a flex.
Real Clovis flex.
Sorry. I was at a dinner party earlier.
Is the only place that you can have hummus is at a dinner party?
I don't know what fancy places you go to.
Yes, I was at a 7-course tasting all hummus just the other night. I left
point
so
being,
full.
Though, to the point that Kate Bishop's origin story is all the credits. We get to see her a lot more than we get to see Clint Barton, which I think is going to be a big surprise for people, certainly for me, but... Let's talk broad strokes here before we get into it. Based on this first episode, did the first episode of Hawkeye hit the spot or miss the mark?
Wow. Glad you're getting that in early.
Wow. What's up, Dad jokes?
I practiced it before we got on.
Save that for the internet, my friend.
Wow. Dad jokes and the crap out of this right out of the gate.
Yeah, it's all about this. It's all about this, Ben.
While we're talking about jokes, I expected this to be a little funnier.
What?
Not to start with a negative.
What are you talking about? Rogers musical was hysterical. Go after yourself.
That was very
Come
funny.
On.
Hey, relax. I mean more the tone of it. I thought it was going to be a little bit more like Shane Black, like a little bit more like knockabout, and we get a lot of that, but on the Kate Bishop side, which I thought was really cool. This is based on the famous Matt Fraction David Asia run the comic. Where with the
fucking
Russian tracksuit mobsters, pizza dog, all that. And that tone was I feel like way lighter than this. This had the sort of the Jeremy Renner style darkness running underneath it. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I was just surprised. But what I am saying is that comic book series that a lot of this seems to be based on was about Clint getting punched in the face a lot. Mm-hmm. And this, it's Kate who is getting like thrown around and beat up because she is like a Hawkeye that's just figuring it out. And I thought that was a really cool change. And I'm excited to see her being the focus, like you said.
Pete, what about you? What was your big takeaway from this premiere episode here?
All right. Well, Justin, why did you have to make it sound like you were shitting on it in the beginning and then do like the compliment in the end? Just to say something nice about it.
I'm a nuanced. I did feel good about it. But we were talking about I was making a point about the comedy of it. I mean, we saw the whole title sequence was taken right out of the David Asia art from the comic.
Yeah, which was great. I thought this was just fun. I thought it was like kind of exactly what you're going to get. You're going to get Hawkeye straight from the movies, and they're dealing with a you know, like Hawkeye's kind of world, but it's the kind of other Hawkeye's origin story. We saw like Kate Bishop's like origin story. I think that's a great way to go about it. Every once in a while, a sprinkle Clint in, but I think it's this is an interesting way to do it, and also a great way to widen the scope of the Marvel movies, getting some other kind of people in there. So I thought it was just a fun app, like laughing at itself. I thought it was a great setup for a first kind of like episode, first issue, where like you got that kind of cliffhanger fun ending where they almost punch each other in the face, which was kind of the whole basis of the comic. I applauded it. I thought it was such a good fun start.
Speaking as somebody who is not the hugest fan of Jeremy Renner or Hawkeye, the character.
What?
I'm on the Amazon Prime channel?
Did you order like all the knives?
I ordered all of his beef jerky. I was on his app. I'm still on his app, even though they deleted it. So I don't know how that's working. We're not getting a lot of new kinds. Because
there were so many things sold, they had to shut it down. It was just like too much.
Too popular.
Amazon Prime was like, whoa, yeah.
Yeah, every morning I wake up at 5 a.m. and I listen to his song that he released. I don't remember what it's called. But
I know
the,
he goes
Scootin'
Dat and Day.
Yes. Yeah. I think given that, I was a little trepidatious going out here. I do love the Matt Fraction, David Aja run. I think it's absolutely fantastic. It changed comics. So very excited to see a lot of the elements here. But I was also, frankly, additionally happy that there was so much focus on Hailee Steinfeld and Kate Bishop. Because, first of all, she's great as Kate.
She's
absolutely perfect. And
great Kate.
And the story here, completely focusing on her, focusing on her mom, her new probably, let's be honest, it's Tony Dalton, evil stepdad.
I love him.
Oh my God.
What are you talking about? He's so creepy. He's a horrible father, his figure.
So, I mean, this is getting into specifics, but Tony Dalton was one of the long-term bad guys in Better Call Saul, and he is phenomenal.
If you haven't watched this season of Better Call Saul, he is by far, in this show where every actor is unbelievable, he is the standout. He plays Lalo, and he is terrifying and funny at the same time, and I feel like he's bringing that energy, and I love to see it.
Yeah. Absolutely great. So many good actors there. And then they would cut, to your point, Justin, just to kind of jump into the episode here, whenever they'd go over to Clint, I was like, oh, man, what a bummer.
Well, come on. Let me say, because I feel like
it was sweet with the, you know, the classic kind of setup of all things are going to go wrong. Like he's having fun. They're holding hands. Everybody says, I love you. It's like,
sure. But even with the musical, I was like,
that
the
was
musical
funny.
Is fun. It was fun to watch.
I could do this all day, turned it into a song, and then the smash.
Can I like nitpick a little bit about this? Because I was really looking forward to the Rogers musical.
Very
funny for the trailer. Really enjoyed it. But the fact that it all takes place at the Battle of New York, the way that they've treated the Battle of New York in the MCU is it's their 9/11. Right?
Whoa, wow. take it easy with that.
Legitimately, people are traumatized.
Let's not evoke
it ruined
that
our
at
city.
All.
It was this moment that changed the innocence of the
not
world.
Not everybody on
and
this podcast
like,
agrees
fun,
with that
fun,
statement.
Fun, dance.
Let me throw it. I think, from a writing standpoint, I don't think anyone would ever say that out loud except for you, Alex. But I do think that is the way they treat it. They treat it like, I mean, not that anyone ever wrote a 9/11 musical.
They do. Come From Away is the 9/11 musical, but
true.
It's
I mean,
not
that's
like,
fair.
It's not what they're doing here. It's not a big, showy Broadway musical. It's a
and that was
emotional,
a great musical, but it doesn't take place in New York. It's like away.
Right.
I guess what I'm saying is like the fact that we jump back to that moment here at the beginning of this in the flashback, I was surprised. I was like, wow, we are still sort of rooted here. Mm-hmm. No matter how far away we get from the first Avengers movie, everything sort of comes back to it. Mm-hmm. And it was crazy to me to have young Kate, after her building is blown open, she sees Hawkeye and thinks, The Impossible.
Right.
That guy's very cool.
That was my big impression from that opening scene. I was like, oh my God, you were doing so much work here.
Oh my God.
To make
God.
Us like Hawkeye and think
stop
he's awesome.
It.
Jesus
what
Christ.
The F, man.
He is not cool. I'm sorry.
The world is like literally yep. crumbling apart, and then there's somebody who's like fighting and making a difference. I thought that was a cool way to like
it.
You see
it
someone
worked.
Swinging.
It worked. To your point, Pete, it worked and it was fine. But I'm also with you, Justin, in terms of I was like,
oh, unbelievable.
Yeah,
this is a lot.
It's like if,
this is a lot
it's
to
like
get
if,
there.
It's like if Bruce Wayne, when he fell into the cave and looked up, instead of seeing a bat, he saw like a chipmunk. It'd be like, well, I'm gonna spend my life being that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And let me just say also, can I snip out the pause between when I said that before and when Pete reacted? Because I want to hold on to that precious moment for the rest of my life.
I did like that, though, as a motivator, even if to see Kate's journey over there, to see her ultimately go to college. She plays this prank where she destroys the bell tower.
That was that hysterical. The whole timing of that through the clock and the whole mom like.
Well, but also as we're walking through
clock
this,
tower, bell
this was
tower.
The point where my jaw sort of dropped a little bit that we went from this opening scene set at the Battle of New York in 2012, all focused on Kate, where right. Clint's in the background. Then we have an opening sequence with Kate animated, and then I was like, okay, now we're gonna get Clint, and then they went back to Kate, and I was like, this is straight up the Kate Bishop show,
right,
featuring Clint Barton. It's yeah. surprising they went in that direction.
Well,
but I'm glad they
that's
did.
A good choice, because yeah. Hawkeye is
sucks.
You know, well, all right, but like whatever, but they're smart about it to be like, hey, this is gonna be a lot of fun, and she can do a lot of things that he can't. And I just like that whole sequence with the kind of like using the bow and arrow in different ways with the, like that tennis ball first hit was hysterical. That light dong and then the oh. Just,
let me jump back to Rogers.
Wait.
Oh yes.
Okay. No, that's what I wanted to do as
oh,
well.
Oh great! I'm sure we want to talk about the same thing. Do you think there is a version of that number where they talk about how much Hawkeye sucks? Because I really legitimately was like, they were like, Thor is handsome. Captain America is handsome and strong. The Hulk is the strongest person in the world. Black Widow can do all these amazing things. The punchline of that had to have been at some point.
Yes.
And I have arrows. No. And
well, exactly.
And they,
okay.
that,
and then that's
they
what I'm saying.
Away from that, which is weird.
And that's what I was saying when because the trailer for this show before we watched the episode was like, look at this fun romp. Hawkeye is under the gun the whole time and like messing up a lot. And then they do this big swing comedy musical number. And I thought for sure it was going to be like you said, big upping everybody. And then and Hawkeye, pause, silence, pause. And then on with the with the musical or some kind of, you know, capital J joke there. And I felt like that's what was missing in a lot of these scenes where there wasn't that big like hammer punchline that I thought we were going to get with this show.
Okay,
and I think that's fine. I really liked the episode. It's just that was not my expectation coming in is we were going to get that comedy.
All right. Enough of the shit storm, okay, between the two of you, okay? First off, I was laughing
Pete
my
LePage,
ass.
Number
no, no,
one
shut the fuck
Hawkeye
up. You've talked enough.
Do you think Jeremy Renner
you guys have been talking too much
this
already.
This is I'm talking about
They're
you, Pete.
Already talking. Listen.
Pete. I
the
wanted to talk
is,
about the fact
the
that it's really
that
wonderful
think,
that you tried to start a Hawkeye fan club in New York and you couldn't because nobody wanted to be in it. So you moved to Philadelphia.
How we doing?
Go ahead.
So my point is, you guys were picking apart fucking stupid things about the musical, but it was hysterical. Hawkeye had to awkwardly sit through a musical about his life where he is a joke and being made fun of. That's enough of the punchline. You know what I mean? Like, it's the thing of it was him even seeing a joke of Black Widow was still too much for him. He had to run away from the awkwardness and the weirdness that is his life. It was well done. It was very funny. I don't know what the fuck you guys are talking about.
Well, and let me – I hear you, Pete. I do think both of our opinions can live in the same world. Mm-hmm. Just like there are two Hawkeyes, different, but still under the same name, our opinions could live the same way. I think it was our misjudgment in the trailer sort of pulling the wool over our eyes a little bit in what it said, because if we remember, Jeremy Renner and the Hawkeye character from all these movies is sort of melodramatic, is like a bit mopey, is like dealing with the drama and feeling it in a way. Like that scene when he's like, this big joke's going on, and in the middle of it, when we're just about to get to the jokes about Hawkeye, it's this very somber moment where he sees Black Widow. Right. And I think that's his whole thing. The moment when he's with his family and they're eating dinner or whatever, it's like, it felt like it was going to be this fun scene. And he's more like, I love Christmas. I'm 100% going to spend Christmas with you. I'm going to live forever in this Christmas. And I love you the most. Good day. Yeah, I was like, okay, we get it. He's not going to be going home for Christmas.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was the most like McBain, like Hot Shots part deux moment.
I'm sorry. I understand.
Hot Shots was fun. What the fuck are you talking about?
Justin's being very political here, and I really appreciate it because we definitely want Pete to be on board with the discussion. But Hawkeye sucks.
What the fuck?
They should be treating him like he sucks in this stuff. 100%. Because it's not fun to watch.
This
love the Kate Bishop stuff. Every time they cut to Hawkeye, I was like, Jeremy Renner gave them notes. He gave them notes on the script. He's like, no, Hawkeye's a serious character.
Yes.
He's a serious character. You need to treat him seriously. He's been through a lot of trauma. He made a really hard decision on Vormir to stupidly let his friend die for no reason. Okay, so we got to honor that. And all of this stuff, I was like, no, this is not. Getting back to what you were saying earlier, Justin, he should be punched in the face. The fact that everybody in the world loves Hawkeye, like, I get it from a realistic standpoint, but it's not fun. And maybe the series will get there eventually, where he is constantly punched in the face, and the whole Lethal Weapon thing, and he's torn up and walking over glass, and it's like Die Hard. And I do think we will get there, but right now, I'm glad Clint Barton was not in this episode much.
Oh my God.
Hey, let's move on to something we can agree on.
The Chris Evans, like, I could do this all day.
You're staying up. It sounds to me like maybe you don't like Clint Barton. You just like the Rogers musical.
It was hysterical. Like, the fact that he had to sit through a musical, like, was hysterical.
And
like,
most importantly, can we talk about Brian D'Arcy James as Haley Steinfeld's father? Great actor. Wonderful to see him. To me, that was the culmination of the episode. And for the rest of our podcast, I'm going to be talking about Brian D'Arcy James.
The kid coming up to him at outside being like, Dad, why was everybody singing? Was hysterical. That was great. And the fact that he was like, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, kid.
You know what that was? That was Midwestern snobbiness is what it was.
Oh,
okay,
get with
the program. Musicals exist. They've been a part of America for over a century at this point. So come on. Calm down, kid. He's raising a bunch of little snobs.
You got upset that maybe somebody was like, you know, maybe saying something that you, and now you're all like, fucking calm down, Beaker. All right. Like, nobody's fucking saying Broadway isn't fucking great. All right. You fucking theater nerd. Take it the fuck down a notch. All right. You know,
I've never heard
different opinions.
I've never heard a Muppet's name used as such a burn, such a slicing insult. You just got Ronin sorted right in the neck by that Beaker reference.
Couple more times, by the way. Opening and closing that sword was the coolest thing I've ever seen.
It's oddly satisfying.
Yeah.
But so let me throw out to you guys all this Armand Duquesne,
the
mom stuff. First off, we meet Armand at the party.
Armand the Seventh is going to be trouble. I'm calling that now.
Let me throw out this. No, he said he's Armand the Third, and that kid's Armand the Seventh.
Yes,
he's
the Seventh.
How quickly are these people reproducing?
I don't know. That was my question too.
That was very strange.
I mean, maybe I don't know how this works. Maybe it's a couple of people at different levels.
That's not how generations work.
Okay. But he's great grandpa. Maybe he's great grandpa. So that's the third. Grandpa is the fourth. Dad is the fifth.
No, he's just somebody's had a bunch of kids, man. And you just named all the boys Armand.
That's not how generations work. The mm-hmm. seven. It's always a next generation. You can't be like, I had seven kids and named them all Armand. And he's
well,
the
that's
seventh
what he
one.
Did. I guess that's what he did.
I thought that was so odd.
Or
it was
that
such
guy's
a sticky
like
out.
A vampire of some kind, or just some.
It well, made me think of these clones.
Let's yeah. speculate about this a little bit, because we do. Yeah. This seems to be the meat of what is going to be going on in this series beyond what's going on with the Tracksuit Mafia. Though I think it's so certainly great. Fair to speculate that they're connected in some way.
I hope they have to fight them every episode.
The Tracksuit Mafia. They're great. Yeah. They're great. So they stepped right off of the comic book page. Loved yes. all the bros. That was fantastic.
As soon as I saw the tracksuit, I got excited.
I don't know his name. I know that's nobody else watches this show, probably, of you guys, and probably nobody else, but the Snowpiercer TV show, the main tracksuit mafia guy is one of the engineers on the train there and plays essentially the same character, and he's great. Just like brusque, angry Russian man. It's very cool. But we have this whole Duquesne thing going on, and Jacques is marrying the mother. The mother is played by Vera Farmiga, who is great actress, and yep. I feel like she has a lot more to do probably as the series goes on, because you don't get Vera Farmiga to just be like, I'm the mom, I'm getting married, don't do that, Kate. You know, there's more stuff I think going on with her potentially. Yeah. But what do you think, what's your speculation at this point about what the conspiracy is, what's going on here? What's
well, happening? here's what we got. We yeah. got Dad, Brian D'Arcy James. They're losing the pen. They're losing the penthouse. Something's up. He seemingly dies, but I speculate he did not.
Ooh,
he's gone. Where does their money come from? When we get to the present day, we've got Kate's mom. A lot of swords in the house.
A lot of swords.
Jack Duquesne, Armand Duquesne, swordsman, famous villain. In Marvel Comics, do we think that that makes Kate's mom Madam Mask?
Ooh.
So this is potentially a big spoiler, because this is where it goes in the comic books, is Madam Mask ultimately ends up being her mom, right? Or
I don't know where it landed. It was one of those things like, is she? She said she is. She's mm-hmm. a liar. Like it bounced back and forth. I'm sure there's an actual continuity answer. But it's definitely something in the air in the comic yeah. book world.
And I will say, this also gets into that tricky territory where I believe they did bat a mask on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So,
hey, I got an answer for you, Alex. Not tricky. That shit didn't happen.
I don't know. I think they're still going to bounce around it a little bit. I don't think they're going to directly contradict, but it's possible we could see something where she is part of a resurgent Hydra or something like that, potentially. Yeah.
Agents of ideas are in the trash can, is mm-hmm. what we can call yes. that show, maybe.
Oh, come on, man.
But she's great. Jacques is great. I really thought the relationship between Jacques and Armand was really interesting. I know Armand yeah. dies by the end of the episode, but
yeah,
it was
too.
Very fascinating. And I hope we get some sort of flashbacks or something like that to unpack more of what's going on there, because there feels like, just in their brief scenes together, such a rich history between the two of them.
Yeah, like they're in some kind of secret fucking club of some kind of, like, villain assholes or something.
Who buy Triceratops skulls. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they're swordsmen, and I think the swordsman mantle is passed down from
also,
Duquesne to Duquesne.
It was crazy that in that one building, there was all these levels of, like, bad guys doing different bad guy things that she was kind of just stumbling through.
Very Hawkeye comic book. Let me also, yeah. not to keep going back to this, but if Armand's son is named Jack or Jacques, he should be named Armand.
Yeah. I don't think that's his son. I don't think, okay. I think Jacques mm-hmm. is his nephew, not his son.
Mm, okay.
Man, Armand is just.
But you're right. It's still weird. The count.
I mean, so, and the rest of that scene on the Kate Bishop side, first off, always dress as a waiter when you're going
always.
Out to a nice night. Yeah. Then you can jump back in the kitchen, poke around, eat some hors d'oeuvres.
Black
whatever
on
want.
Black, look sharp, man. You look good. You could do
it. It was a nice coincidence. That was really helpful for her that she happened to be dressed that way.
100%. Yes, and yeah. if you're going to have a secret villain auction, get a better floor manager mm-hmm. because that guy was Gary, was letting anybody run willy nilly.
Oh, come on.
That
man. You
was
can't
a
keep
fun
track
bit.
Of all the wait staff.
I that
mean,
was a fun
just,
bit. I like that yeah. quite a bit. Like
I'm Gary.
Yes, I'm Gary. It was great. I also thought the way that sequence was filmed was very good, just because mm-hmm. you have like rows of shelves of wine bottles, so it'd be very easy to get lost. But they were always keeping track of Kate. They were keeping track of where the auction was, where the various wait staff was as well.
That bottle fight was really great.
Like yeah, great fight choreography. And I also liked when the door, the wall smashed open, and there was this sort of period of like what everyone was like, what's happening? And I feel like so few action shows or action movies, usually someone's kicking someone right out of through the explosion. It's like, yeah, that's crazy. It's not like the wall opens and they're jumping through it. It takes a second to
deal that with was it. Interesting. That like was the cool. second that, Felt yeah, real. It was like, yeah, it was very interesting. And then they finally came through.
You now, don't usually the Tracksuit Mafia in this episode is looking for a watch that is being sold at the auction. What's the deal with the watch? What's your speculation here?
From Avengers, the wreckage of Avengers Tower, I believe, right?
Potentially. I mean, the Ronin outfit is. I don't know that the Triceratops skull is necessarily.
I think it's like just one of those really like special edition collector's items, you know, like really expensive, well-made watches that if you have it, you know, you don't want to lose it.
Let me throw this out to you. I speculate it's a way of accessing Iron Man armor. And that's why they want it. Because I believe when it was on the ground, when that one dude was trying, he was like, I found the watch. I think it had on it Avengers compound, a little tag. So maybe someone can correct if I'm making that up. But so if that's true, I feel like it's a Tony Stark watch that may be able to access one of his armor.
Let me throw something else out at you. I think the watch is unimportant. I think it's a MacGuffin. Similar to the watch, it's the watch from Pulp Fiction, right? Where they're telling the little story about the watch.
And that that's the watch in the butt.
Yeah, the watch in the butt.
Oh, that watch, yeah.
Yeah, that watch. But I think it's a MacGuffin. I think it's a distraction so that Jacques can grab Ronan's sword.
He'd be damned.
Yeah, that's my thought there. Wow. I think because he seems to go right for the sword, grab it, put it in his pocket. So I think he was like,
well, he closed it first. He had to do the cool clothes. And then
to do the cool clothes thing. Very cool.
Yep. That could be.
Yeah, potentially.
I think it's one of those watches that's also like a calculator, you know? So it's like super useful.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a Mickey Mouse watch and they're like Disney, right? Pretty cool.
Huh? Yeah. Disney Plus. You got to kind of protect the brand.
I mean, we're raising prices by like a dollar, but, you know, we have a lot of good content on the way.
Oh, no. Are they really?
Wow. Wait, are you talking about Marvel Vision Plus?
Yeah, Marvel Vision Plus. We're charging a dollar extra for this podcast.
Oh, man, we shouldn't do that.
A dollar extra of zero.
Yes.
That's oh, shit, bro.
Couple other things I wanted to say. You know it's a New York reppin' show when you got Pat Kiernan from New York.
New York One, baby, come on. Oh, yeah.
I got a quibble again about Pat's watch. I got a quibble about there's a huge gap.
Because he's on at night.
He's on at night.
Yeah,
I know.
Pat Kiernan is not on at night. He's on in the morning.
Well, in this New York, he is.
Oh, okay. Pat Kiernan in the multiverse of madness?
That's right. It's probably Pat's watch. That's probably Pat was like, yo, can you give me that watch, guys?
Oh,
like,
he's the big bad guy of the series. That would be very cool.
That would be the coolest.
The only frontier left for people, because I think Pat Kiernan appears in a lot of movies as like a real New York rep. Mm-hmm. I think when we get Sandy Kenyon from New York Wars, then we know. And if you're not outside of New York, you don't know what I'm talking about. But this guy does movie reviews on Taxicab TV. Man. I've heard that guy say nonsense for years when I'm drunkenly getting into a cab. I'm Sandy Kenyon, and this is Movie Minute.
I'm in the Hawkeye series right now, and I'm reviewing it. Yeah. Well,
Sandy, you're playing a character. You're not you.
All right. Taxi TV.
We can all agree with all that. Pizza Dog was great, though, right? I mean, come on.
Yes.
Something we can all
absolutely.
Agree.
Now, right. do you think that dog had one eye originally, or did they poke out a dog's eye?
They probably poked it out.
Yeah. That's okay. That's what they would have done.
Yeah.
They would have done. Oh, the dog poked his own eye out?
Yeah.
Okay, so not at the
I do have a question about why she was going after the dog at the end there. That wasn't totally clear to me.
Yeah, that was weird.
It was
also,
a little weird.
Only one slice of pizza? I mean, come on. You don't know when the last time that dog ate, like, only one slice? Mm-hmm.
That dog's going to eat more pizza by the end of this series. And let me also just say, I wish that the pizza dog told more jokes. Is that fair? Mm-hmm. A fair thing for me to say?
Yeah. Pete?
Unbelievable.
What would be fantastic, actually, is if Pizza Dog turned to the camera every once in a while and said, well, that just happened.
Oh, that's good. That is my favorite punchline. Yes,
I really
exactly.
like when they do that. But yes, all that aside, great to see Lucky the Pizza Dog. Really perfect looking dog. Very fun, even though I'm not 100% sure why Kate chased after him. I'm still glad she did. I think it was mostly to show that footage in the hotel room later on. Yeah.
That was a great line, though, when Hawkeye's kid was like, oh, cool, that ninja saved a dog. Mm-hmm. That was a fun line.
It is really interesting, because this is something that wasn't established in the MCU before, but it's really interesting that everybody knows who Ronan is, but they don't know that Ronan is Hawkeye.
Right.
That was kind of a fascinating little in-universe detail, which makes sense, I guess. Like, if there was a dude dressed in a ninja suit who was going around and constantly murdering criminals, he'd be as well known as the Punisher, right? But that never occurred to me while watching Endgame. Don't fucking come at me.
Well, and I also liked that. Actually, it was sort of a little plot device that I thought was cool. Like, Hawkeye seeing her having put on the Ronin costume is what drives him to go get her. Yeah. As opposed to him seeing someone dressed as Hawkeye shooting an arrow and being like, I better track that person down. Mm-hmm.
Because it's something he's ashamed of. He feels bad about. Right. It's something that was the darkest point in his life when his entire family was dead and gone. That's reminding of that. So even though I have been pretty down on morose Hawkeye in this series and just in general, I do think, like you're saying, Justin, as a motivator for him, that's a smart move. And it certainly works. Works well, yeah. What else do we need to talk about with the series? Any other moments that jumped out to you guys?
I really like the mom bit in the beginning where she's like, moms are fun too, and does that fun like food flip. Mm-hmm. I thought that was like a great kind of moment.
Definitely a big hint that she has more going on than just being a friendly mom.
Even if she's not Madame Mask, I think she's going to be another villain. Mm. The Swordsman is definitely like a sort of Hydra adjacent, like not street level villain, not super, super villain, but just someone who like has schemes.
Well, he was also an Avenger for a while, but in the comic book, like most villains bounce back and forth. But to your point, yes, I think I could see the series indicating that he is the main villain when it actually is her mom.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Which is a fun. I'm excited for that. I mean, I guess the last thing that is super important I point out is that monogrammed butterscotches is the ultimate old dude flex.
And, I mean, that you can't. You know, you can talk about eating hummus, but then you can monogram butterscotch. You know what I mean?
It's weird that he didn't have almonds, because that would have been much funnier, right? Armands.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my God.
Come on, man.
Yo, Beaker, go to bed.
Great. Well, there's a lot more coming up on the series that I'm very excited to check out. Before we wrap up here, though, let's turn it over to our vision board, where we look at what we think is coming up on the next episode or what we want to see. So, Pete, what do you want to see happen in the next episode other than going back for a second viewing of Rogers the Musical?
I think episode 2 would be a really cool move to go all silent, all Pizza Dog point of view. Or maybe you got to kind of build that up, the love of Pizza Dog more. But man, I cannot wait for that to happen, and I really hope they go for it. I'm just excited for more of the same.
My prediction on the Pizza Dog comic issue that it was, I think Pete's referencing there, I bet they'll have a fight sequence where we see the whole thing from Pizza Dog's POV.
Which will be dope.
Especially, Kate's apartment is very much like the Hawkeye apartment.
Yeah, that's going to be a key place.
That's going to be the home of a great fight sequence.
Yeah. Right out of the comics. That was so cool to see. The other thing that we didn't mention, and I know we're in the middle of the vision board, but they're very subtly work in the fact that Hawkeye has a hearing aid now, which is something that has been part of his character in the comics for decades that they haven't done in the movies. I'm very interested to see how they work on that, particularly given Lauren Ridloff's character in Eternals. That was so much positive representation in terms of the deaf community. Yeah. I'm excited to see what they do here. They're going to have, I mean, this is a spoiler for the series, but this is already out there. Echo, the character, is going to be part of the series as well. So we're going to see her. So certainly in terms of deaf representation and hearing impaired representation, that's going to be something big going forward. So I'm excited to see how that pans out. But the other thing in my vision board, conversely from everything that I said this episode, I kind of want to see more Clint. Like, I want to see whether it is going to be more even-handed going forward and we're going to have more half and half. Would be totally fine if this continues to be the Kate Bishop show for six episodes. But ultimately, I think if you're going to do it right, you really, now that they are together, what is it like when they're together, you know?
I agree. I want to see, I think the pathway to make Clint more fun is to make him increasingly frustrated. And that way he doesn't have time to be mopey. And so I think that's what they're going to do. That's my prediction slash hope, is that through him not being able to go home for Christmas, getting dragged into a mystery slash crime situation that he doesn't want to be a part of, he's going to then start to open up a little bit and have a little bit more fun.
Well, and the other thing there is pretty much, I think, every Disney Plus series so far has been about these characters dealing with their trauma from the entire last slate of movies. We saw that with WandaVision. We saw that with Captain America, the Winter Soldier. We saw that with Loki as well.
It's important, man. You got to deal with it.
Well, yeah, you do need to deal with it. And I think, to your point, Justin, that's probably what they're doing here. Is he's got Ronan. He's got Black Widow's death. He lost his entire family. He doesn't feel like the strongest or most powerful Avenger. So if potentially working with Kate and lifting her up in some way to be the hero that we know she can be,
you think
that gets him past all those things, that's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
The last episode is going to be him singing "I Can Do This All Day," like he's finally like,
oh man.
Yeah, it'll be the full musical episode.
Yeah.
Well, and let me say on that point real quick before we go, it's interesting to me that Marvel's big, the MCU hit so hard and so well by really opening up and being like, we're going to hit this genre with this movie. Like, Captain America is going to be like, you know, a war movie classic. We're going to go over here with these other movies into different genres and really lean into a variety. And then with the TV shows, it does feel like they're sort of maybe not on purpose, but there's a lot of like repeated sort of arcs and narrative emotional arcs for them where they are like coming out of their trauma and healing themselves a little bit. And I do think we're due for some variety on that.
Yeah. All right, folks, if you'd like to support our podcast and, of course, subscribe to Marvel Vision Plus, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast on YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Hawkeye. iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Marvel Vision Pod on comics, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time,
Beaker out.